Okay, thank you. Thank you for coming. So I'm going to speak about constraints, and more specifically, conservative constraints. So it's quite politically fashionable topic now in Canada. Full screen. Wow, it's big enough. So I don't know how to do this. So the area of constraint satisfaction is quite broad, right? It involves many problems like approximability, optimizing. So I'm going to talk about a very tiny part of it, but still broad enough to be interesting. So what is the tiny part? It's this fixed template CSP. So what do we have? We fix a finite set of relations on a finite set A. And now I'm defining an instance of CSP. It's right here. So it's simply a conjunction of atomic formulas. So something of that form. X1, X2 should belong to some relation R1, and so on and so on. And these relations are forced to be from your fixed set of relations. So, and what you are looking for is satisfactory, or how to say it, assignment. So you want to assign values to variables so that, you know, this formula is true. So I usually draw instance of CSP in this way. So here's an example. Formula, all constraints are binary. So this is the instance. X1, X2 should lie in R1, and so on and so on. So what I do, I draw potatoes. So for every variable, I draw one copy of the set A, of the domain. And now I draw constraints as edges. So yeah, if pair 3, 2 is in my constraint, I draw edge from 3 to 2. Right? So this is a picture of instance. And now what you are doing is you are finding solution, and which is just pick one element from each potato so that there are all edges between them. Okay? Well, yes. So examples, when you fix gamma in various ways, you get various decision problems, like various forms of SAT, three SAT, one SAT, not all equal SAT, whatever SAT, graph reachability, solving system of, say, linear equation over finite fields, and many, many others. Oh, not so many others, actually. Yeah, alternative formulation, which is kind of misleading, I think, is a homomorphism problem for relational structures. Okay, so in this tiny area, maybe the biggest open problem is this Feder-Vardy dichotomy conjecture, which says that for every fixed template, the problem should be either tractable or NP-complete. So we don't know the answer yet. Here are some reason, by which I mean from 2000 on, like biggest steps towards the dichotomy conjecture as I see them. So first or zero step was realizing that this is actually a universal algebraic problem. Okay, so it somehow belongs to some part of mathematics, which is called universal algebra, where we study how to compose functions. And from that point, so my first result, which is written there, is that this conjecture is actually true for all domains which are at most three elements. So this is a result of Bulatov. It generalizes previous old result of Scheffer, which proves that for 200 domains. Another big result of Andrei Bulatov is that the conjecture is true whenever your template contains all unary relations. So we can always say that some variable should go to some subset. Yeah? So such constraint languages are called conservative. And the dichotomy is known by this Bulatov result, and my talk is about some new proof of this strange thing. The point 3 and 4 are about understanding algorithms. So there are basically two algorithms known for CSP, something like Gaussian elimination, which is like very roughly stated, but what it means, you want to describe somehow all solutions, right? And when you are solving system of linear equations, you are actually describing all solutions given basis of the solution set. So it was pushed as far as it can be pushed by this bunch of people, and now it's somehow well understood. And another algorithm or algorithmic principle is to decide whether, try to decide whether the solution exists by some local consistency methods. Okay, so for example, in this picture, you maybe see that no solution exists, yeah, but we can try to do some consistency checking. For example, this guy here can never be a part of solution because it has no friend in here. And we can just delete it. And so we can continue until it stabilizes. We can do better. Maybe we can try to check whether every edge extends to triangle. Right? But we must somehow fix the size so that it's still polynomial, if you want polynomial algorithm. So the templates where you can apply such local consistency methods are also characterized by me and Marcin Kozik. And yeah, and there are some new nice tricks by Marotti. So that's basically it. So there is, these results are different. So these first two results about three element domains and conservative CSPs. Yes, you see. So these proofs are like almost 100 pages. It uses like deep algebraic theories, so not understandable for anyone outside universal algebra. And also because it's really long, like nobody really understands them even in universal algebra. Kind of. Yeah, and also another disadvantage of these proofs is that some of the techniques are very specific for this concrete problem. It somehow doesn't seem to provide much more insight to other problems and related problems and so on. On the other hand, these applicability results are, I mean, the proofs are kind of natural, right? So the proofs don't require any algebraic machinery. Basically, you can just start reading them from scratch, and they are easier. And also, they somehow bring new insights and results in universal algebra, which can be applied somewhere else. Right? So there are like at least two big problems, or like long-standing open problems in universal algebra where the CSP methods developed by proving these 3 and 4 help to resolve them. So, and the result is, so we somehow to move on, we would like to understand these results better, right? These first two results, which are really like top, right? The good news is that fortunately these two deep results of Bulatov are consequences of this newer applicability results. So for the three-element domain, it was very recently proved by Markovic and other people, and actually it seems it can be pushed to four-element domains. Right? And again, it's like natural proofs using coupling tricks and these results. And my talk is about the second thing, that the conservative case where the template contains a linear relation also is a consequence of the newer results. So, and actually the proof is, it fits into this leaks proceeding article. There are no shortcuts, the full proof is there, so you're welcome to read it. And this is, I don't want to call it bad news, but Andrei Bulatov's techniques recently allowed him to reprove the local consistency applicability using his techniques, so another 100 pages proof. So it just says, I mean, his techniques are good, right? Okay, so the rest of the talk, I just want to say a few words about the proof, maybe helpful only for people who would like to read the paper, to give them some more insight. I wanted to avoid algebra as much as I could. So only notion, hopefully, is this of polymorphism. So a polymorphism of a template is simply an operation which is compatible with all relations. And this was actually the zero point when I was presenting these highlights. So Bulatov, Jelonson, Krokhin observed that if the template has no nice polymorphism in some sense, then the CSP is NP-complete. It's also interesting from this point of view that you get somehow natural reduction between any two NP-complete CSPs. So you want to reduce three sets to three coloring, here you go. Right? One simple reduction, not like many reductions or many problems. So, I don't want to tell you what nice is because, I mean, I cannot motivate it enough. It's very natural condition somehow. That's why it's so tiny. So this is example how you can define it, but it's really a natural condition. So the only remaining task to prove the Ferrari conjecture is to prove that if the template has this nice polymorphism, then it's actually tractable. Right? And there are like similar conjectures for finer complexities, like which should state when the template is in NL or L, so on. So we could have like complete characterization modulo log space or log space reductions. Okay, so now I just want to quickly describe the algorithm. So what remains to be proven is that you have a template, you have all these unary relations, and you have this nice polymorphism, and you want to show, you want to provide algorithm for solving these CSPs. Right? So here's the algorithm. The proof works like this. So give me algorithm for domains of size k, I will give you algorithm for larger domains. Okay, so it's like inductive algorithm. This is a little bit simplified version. So the real algorithm is a little more complicated, but it's just like technical complication, like nothing substantial. So step one, very easy, do this consistency checking. So make the instance consistent enough. So as I said, you just delete the rubbish, so no, delete the three, it's never part of the solution, delete the three. Actually what I need here is this better part of consistency. I have to make sure that every edge is in a triangle. So this is actually not consistent enough. Right? So what you do, you just remove some edges which you know they are not part of the solution. Okay? Get something smaller. Maybe draw another picture. So now the potatoes can be smaller than the whole algebra, right? You already deleted some possible values. I mean the same set. Okay? And you have some remaining edges. Now you know that every edge is in a triangle. Okay, what do you do next? You find something smaller, which is still consistent enough. There was this result about consistency methods. So basically you follow the proof of the result and you find this small restriction. So I'll say something more about this step in the next slide. So let me just say what I mean by a small restriction. So you find some subsets in each potato. And you make sure that inside these subsets, if you restrict the constraints to these subsets, it's still consistent enough. Yeah? How you will do that, I will tell you roughly. If you will be reading the paper, this will be called minimal absorbing sets. And you can do that by known things. And now we are almost done. When you have this small instance, you realize that there are like two kinds of pairs of potatoes, two kinds of pair of variables. So one kind is when somehow the constraint respect the edges. So there is no edge from inside the smaller subset to outside or the other way around. Huh? Right? That's what I mean, that it respects the edges. So all edges somehow go in between and say this is also nice behavior, no edges outside, and so on. And somehow because of these consistencies, it follows that this defines an equivalence relation. Okay, so got kind of strength. And then you have, say, again, the same situation here. These are nicely behaved. This is a nicely behaved pair of potatoes. This as well, and so on. And among these, the things are bad. There is an edge from smaller thing to outside. Okay, so this is some of the picture you got after step two. And the only algebraic result which I need is that actually in such a case when we have this conservative language and our assumptions, then there are actually all edges here. Right? And so this is the news. I mean, the only new thing I needed to reprove the Bolotov's result. And actually, for binary constraints, the proof is like half page. Right? So really, nothing extra. For Morrell constraints, it's somehow a little bit more work, but nothing too bad. Right? So we have one more one algebraic piece, and then it just follows really from all results. So. Yeah, so when you have this, then you are almost done, because now you may try to find recursively solution inside. If you fail, then you can just delete these sets and start everything again. And when you succeed in every strand, then because you know you have all edges here, you are done. You found the solution. Okay, so that's basically it. Okay, so I a little bit oversimplified, because for example, what may happen, these smaller sets are actually as big as the whole potato. So this is the complication. It's small complication. You solve it in a similar way. And after you solve all complications, then you are left with an instance where you can apply the Gaussian elimination. So you somehow combine these two algorithms in this way. Yeah, so okay, so maybe let me tell you something a little bit more about the second step, how to find the smaller guys. So there is a definition of absorption. This turned out to be very useful notion, and there are like surprising theorems about these absorbing sets. So what it is? So we have this conservative template on some domain. And let's have a subset C and a subset of this subset B. Now we say that B absorbs C if there exists some polymorphism of this template, such that whenever you apply this polymorphism to a bunch of elements of C, where actually all but one element lie in B, you get a result in B. It's some operation which is in a way absorbing stuff. Okay, so this is just some random notion. A good thing is that somehow you can absorb this some forms of consistencies inside absorbing sets. So. Subset B is an absorbing subunit of C, if there exists a polymorphism.
Whenever all the I
yeah, all must be in C, but actually all must be in B with one exception. So the argument, all arguments are in B, and the other one is in C.
That's the
yes.
One
all AIs are in C. All are in C.
That's correct.
Yes, all are in C, and all but one are in B. Okay, so it, some of these elements don't play a role in this definition. They don't appear. Yeah. So now, yeah. So now you, I mean, given this notion, you just imitate basically proof of this four, and that's how you find the small instance. So what you do, I mean, it's really a rough sketch. Not so rough actually. It's precise. So I just don't define what does it mean to walk and so on. So you have a proper absorbing set, and now you walk. So what I mean by walk, I just take image in here, and I mean I walk randomly, and it somehow stabilizes after a while, and then I can somehow reduce to the small thing, and I continue, and that's how I find these sets. Okay? Somehow the situation is that I don't lose the existence of nice polymorphism. Yeah, I mean on every step somehow everything is nice. It's all important. Yeah, so that's it. The whole algorithm, nothing really deep. So. Okay, so there's a problem with the algorithm, but so you see, while walking, I needed to start with some absorbing set if it exists, right? And then I walk and whatever. But actually, I don't know if it's decidable whether something is an absorbing set. I don't know if the problem, like on input given finite relational structure and a subset of it, is it absorbing set? It may be, well, undecidable. And a similar problem for algebras. I mean, given algebra, it's the same question. I didn't talk about algebra. So these are like two problems which I don't know are decidable or not. And actually, I have like good reason. There is a good reason to believe that this is not a trivial question. I mean, I think it's quite a hard question. So it's like a challenge. So. My algorithm, so actually I don't provide algorithm, that's my problem, right? That's what the conversation is about. I'm proving algorithm exists without providing the algorithm. Okay, so that's basically it. So there, just note, I was showing everything on binary constraints, and they are kind of stupid. So. Nothing is really going on. If you use a result of Hell and Raffier or some simplification made by my student Alexander Kasda and some of these results, then you actually get that every conservative language which contains only unary or binary constraints is either NP-complete or solvable by consistency methods. So you don't need any algorithm like that. You certainly need it for constraints of higher rarity. Well, I think that's it. Thank you.